Thoughts on 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2. As a result. Of course, I'm quoting the verse itself. Let me read it to you. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 2, as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. 1 Peter 4 verse 2. Now, it doesn't make much sense on its own. As a result of what? Well, because Christ has suffered in his body, the believer has to arm himself with the same attitude. And the fact is, because he who has suffered in his body, he who has died to sin, that's the meaning, as I explained in the previous discourse, is finished with sin, is translated out of the realm of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. As a result, he, that believer, who is so transferred, who is a new man in Christ, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires. That is what he once did. That was what he was when he was in Adam. That's what he was when he was away from Christ, when he wasn't a believer, when he was dead in his sins and under the wrath of God. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, which he once did. But what does he live for then? What is he consumed with? What is the rest of his life for? But rather, for the will of God. As a result of this regeneration, of renewal by the Holy Spirit, of union to Christ, of being dead to sin and alive with Christ, as a result of his union with Christ, his death to sin, his life in Christ, his earthly life now as a new man, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It will show in this new life. The former life was evil human desires. His new life is the will of God, that is Scripture surely, and for the glory of God. Now, Isaac Watts, as I keep quoting, wrote a lovely hymn, "So let our lips and lives express the holy gospel we profess." But there's more to it than that. It will. There's an inevitability about it. Because a man is in Christ, he is a new creation. It's part of the promise of God in the New Covenant, Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36, and so on. What is that promise? That God would write his law, his gospel, his word, his truth upon the heart, to keep the statutes, to know the statutes and to keep them, to walk in the ways of God. He's not talking about the Mosaic law. Old Covenant language would use that kind of terminology. But the fact is that in the gospel in the New Covenant, he's talking about the law of liberty, the law of Christ. And that law is written on the heart. And he's got a new disposition, the man. He's got a new heart, a new mind, a new will. He's a new man. And so it's inevitable that he will live this new life. But it's not only inevitable, it's a duty, a responsibility. It's James chapter 2. It's Philippians chapter 2, 12 to 13. Work out your own salvation, for it's God who has worked in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So are you saved? Are you trusting Christ? Then it's not let go and let God. It's live for the glory of God, which you will do, which you must do, which is your responsibility to do. You've started, it's done and dusted, it's finished. You were converted and that's it. No, my friend, that's just the beginning of it. The rest of your earthly life must show it. And when does the rest of your earthly life start? Well, it started the moment you were converted. But the rest of your earthly life now starts now, at this very, very moment. May God give us grace to hear this command, to see this inevitability, and by our lives to show to the world and to the glory of God to live not for the old way of the evil of human desires, but for the glory and will and purpose and honour of God. Amen.